Little word of warning, this podcast does have spoilers for The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and X-Men Days of Future Past, so watch out!
Hey, Randy.
Yeah?
We just heard some news about Marvel, and we started talking about it. You're like, hey, let's do a podcast about it. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. So here we are, we're doing that.
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
Yeah, I'm Joseph Blanchett, this is Randy Keepers. Say hi, Randy.
Hello!
Hi, there you go. And we're Marvel, kind of Marvel fanboys, right?
We are.
Yep. So
the hardest.
There's been a lot of Marvel movie, a lot of Marvel movie news lately. So let's talk about it for a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds like a great idea. So we got some new information today.
Yeah, let's start about that thing that just dropped. Is that the director of Sinister and The Day the Earth Stood Still, among other things.
Deliver Us from Evil, The Exorcism, Vote Family Rose,
yeah,
etc.
He's going to be directing the Doctor Strange movie. So, did you know that these movies were connected? Because in Captain America 2, they mentioned Doctor Strange's name.
Yeah, they mentioned him by name.
It's like they knew.
It's like they had plans for this kind of
thing. It's like they have plans for the past 6 years about making these movies connected.
Mm-hmm. So, take a lot of choreography, but
so you ever see that animated Doctor Strange movie?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
It's like one of the best Marvel animated movies, and
yeah,
I'm just kind of imagining this myth, like this Asian mysticism and otherworldly Cthulhu creatures in a Marvel action movie, and I'm just like, wow, that sounds like right up my alley.
Yeah, yeah, and it looks like this guy, the director who will be doing Doctor Strange, which is Scott Derrickson, he isn't unfamiliar with working with paranormal things. This isn't a new place for him to go, and I'm really glad that they picked somebody who could delve into the paranormal, delve into the strange, if you will, to deliver us a really good strange paranormal experience, because Doctor Strange, how like in Thor they could justify it with like technology we don't understand yet and all that other stuff, that these guys are aliens and stuff like that. Well, with Doctor Strange, it is pure, flat out, balls to the walls, unadulterated
yeah, this magic. just magic stuff. And it's a movie they couldn't really have made when Iron Man came out. Because it's just, Iron Man and then you have, magic? This is weird. But they've definitely started easing audiences onto this, and like Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be, very sci-fi. And so it's not just, all Captain America and Iron Man anymore. Mm-hmm. It's going to a bunch of different directions.
Yeah, they're really trying to delve into more genres, and it's really cool. Like, now that there are filmmakers who know what they're doing, understand the mythos, understand to make the films in such a way that somebody doesn't have to put their suspension of disbelief too far out, now that we understand that there are different dimensions or different portals that take you to different places, that there are different things of reality, there's more in the universe than just what happens here on Earth, as shown by the second Thor movie.
Yeah, Thor movies.
And now that with Guardians of the Galaxy, it's going to be that in spades, and it's going to be great.
It's going to be in spades. Now, do you think, Marvel movies, for the most part, have done a good job of having really fantastical things, but still having it, believable in the kind of world they present? How far do you think Doctor Strange is going to go with like the magic and stuff, or is it going to be more like kind of like Lovecraftian Cthulhu stuff, or is it going to be like, I don't know what they would do with it, but
well, they could easily go either way with this kind of a story, because honestly, one of Doctor Strange's more recognizable enemies, Shuma Gorath. Yeah. He looks like an eldritch abomination.
Oh,
he's eyeball
guy,
with tentacles.
Marvel versus Capcom, right? Like the guy with the big.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he is walking tentacles.
They know the big Doctor Strange bad guy is a guy named Dormammu. That's his name?
Dormammu, yep.
Yeah. And he's like the big Doctor Strange villain. Like, do you think they do something like him for the first movie, or do you think they save him for like a sequel or a crossover? Or are you there?
Possibly. Sorry, I had to think about that.
Yeah.
But like, the thing is that Doctor Strange has always been this this icon of like wisdom to a lot of people in Marvel. It's like, wait, if Tony Stark can't explain what the hell's going on here, we're gonna have to look somewhere else. And Doctor Strange has always been that kind of a guy. So it stands to reason that they'll rope him in somehow. But you know, we're just gonna have to see how they do it. You know, around
do
the time
you gonna see a full blown origin for this guy, or do you think we'll like maybe be he's already what is he called the Sorcerer Supreme, and maybe we get some flashbacks about what happened? Because like when I remember his story, it's kind of very Iron Man-ish. You know, this guy's real cocky, just out for himself. And this is all obviously before the movie. And you know, something happens to him, it humbles him, and he learns a great power and decides to, you know, use it to better mankind. Like that's Iron Man.
Yeah, that is very, very, very
Iron. He kind of looks like him.
Yeah, Doctor Strange and Tony Stark, they look alike, like, in person. I mean, like, other than, like, Doctor Strange almost looks like he could be Tony's dad. So, one big thing that I think that they'll need to consider is the kinds of creatures or monsters or things that Doctor Strange has to face. And like you saw in the animated film, you know, it's not so much that, you know, oh, they're not things that normal people can see. You have to be magical to see those invisible monsters, but more like he kind of works from the shadows. You know, he doesn't let himself be all that well known, and his actions and the things that he does wouldn't be so well known as well. I mean, I think it would almost be handled in a similar vein that Blade is handled in, is that, you know, he knows the kinds of crazy stuff that lurks in the shadows, but nobody else does, and he has to be the one to, you know, keep humankind from freaking out about that kind of thing. So that's kind of his job.
Kind of remembering the Constantine movie, which I think is kind of underrated in a lot of ways. Where he's it's like the movie starts and like Constantine's already doing his thing. Like there's no origin story for Constantine, and like I kind of see Doctor Strange be the same way, just on a more like a little more fantastical scale, you know. So I'm wondering if they're going to do a full blown origin story, because I want a movie of just this badass wizard guy fighting demons for 2 hours. Yeah. I don't want that to, you know, over the last 15 minutes, get that. I want that throughout the entire thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he's kind of sort of rad.
Now, I had a thought with this. They've kind of hinted that Thor 3 is going to involve Sulfur.
Oh, yes, Suter.
Sulfur. It's going to have Sulfur in it. It's like they have, like when you see the portals, they have one that's basically like, you know, hell, like the hell dimension. And during the commentary, like they make a point of noticing that. It's like, oh, we might be setting up future movies. So we have like a fire demon, basically, which in Thor universe, all these guys are aliens, even though they're basically elves and dwarves and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think a place like that hell dimension, like in the movies, could like kind of tie in with Doctor Strange? Like maybe they aren't demons from another dimension per se, but maybe they're from
like legitimate bona fide, this is magical stuff, guys.
Yeah, what if a Suter and a Dormammu are, you know, brothers, you know? It's like they're fire demons,
like they work together or something.
Yeah, it's like
that.
One
I could see that
one's in the Thor movie, one's in the Doctor Strange movie, and it kind of connects them together.
Because, like, again, I mean, like, the Dark Elves in Thor 2, they were using what was effectively an Infinity Gem to shape reality in impossible ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so
maybe, like, Avengers 3, you know, it's all about Thanos, supposedly. But what if, like, his henchman is, like, it's like a Dormammu. I don't know.
I could see that.
That's the way you get Doctor Strange into Avengers movies, because, like, this otherworldly demon. And he kind of set that up in, like, Thor 3, maybe. You know, it's like some of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. Like, yeah.
So one thing I've been a little disappointed with in this Phase 2 movies is they're not really connected, like, interconnected that much. And it'd be cool if during Phase 3, especially if they introduce all these new heroes, they kind of interconnect them a little more. Doctor Strange, watch that animated movie if you haven't, because it'll give you a good idea about what it could be like, and most of the Marvel animated movies aren't that good, but this one's pretty good.
Well, like, I can see, like, with, like, going back to the Avengers 3 setup, is, you know, them working with something they've never seen before. Like, even the laws of science that Thor is aware of, he doesn't understand how it works, you know? Yeah. And so, like, that's probably where they'd be like, oh, no, we need a legitimate bona fide wizard up in this hood. And so,
yeah, what if, like, Doctor Strange appears in, like, Thor 3 or something like that? Maybe you, like, don't really know who, like, he is at this point, but he's just, like, this human they go to see because they know a lot about, like, yeah, like the hell dimension. It's like, what does a mortal know about hell dimensions?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, I think what you were saying before, it may be better that they introduce him as the Sorcerer Supreme, mm-hmm, that he already is an expert in this kind of stuff, yeah, and that, you know, in flashbacks back in time kind of stuff.
I'm getting a little tired of origin stories. Like, it can be good character building and all that, but for the most part, you know that this one guy is going to be bitten by a spider or something.
Yeah.
And then he's going to become the thing that you want him to become. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not so much that I don't think that they should, like, going through a full origin story for Doctor Strange is weird and convoluted. You know, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't really get something that works out that quite that well, you know, minus the minus the origin story, but that he's there, he shows up, he's awesome, goodness me, it's Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
but
you can have, like, flashbacks to it, but it doesn't have to be like half the movie.
No. Yeah, don't. Don't take up half the movie, you know, building up Doctor Strange. He's there. He's Doctor Strange. He is awesome.
Because as cool as, like, Iron Man, like, the first Iron Man movie and the first Thor is, mm-hmm, it's like, you know, you spend the most of the movie, the heroes not being the heroes. And, like, you just kind of want more of it. So.
Exactly. And that I think is, you know, it's slightly frustrating when a majority of this action movie is not action.
but I do think, like, I'm in the cartoon, you know, he has to learn, like, the balance within himself and all that. And all that can make for a good story. It's just I don't want to have 20 minutes of him, like, him being a neurosurgeon. He gets into a car wreck and, I have to save my hands, you know.
Yeah,
that just doesn't seem interesting to me. Even though it may be important to the character, I don't know if you have to focus that much on it.
No, I don't.
When there's, like, demons to be fought. See, there's some other Marvel news. I guess the other big Marvel news is Edgar Wright leaving Ant-Man.
Yeah, that was a little.
That was a big shocker.
It was a big shocker. That's. You know, like, it's really frustrating that kind of a thing happens with that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's no good. No good.
I mean, from all the rumors people say, that Marvel is not easy to work with if you're for directors and stuff. Like, they're very controlling over their brands. I mean, it's not the first time a director left the project. I mean, like, the original director for Thor 2 left just a couple months before production started. And if you watch Thor 2, as much as I think it's a pretty good movie, it's very patched together in a lot of parts.
Mm-hmm.
And not as developed as it could have been. And you can kind of tell that Marvel was more focused on certain parts of the movie than others. And that's probably where the disagreement came from. And that's the reports I'm kind of hearing about Ant-Man. Like, Edgar Wright is a very unique director. He's used to having a lot of control over his movies and vision, and I think Marvel just wanted it to go a certain way for a while now, and this is kind of like the last straw for Wright.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense, especially with the way that actor or directors get sometimes. You know, they really like to have control over their films, and I don't blame him. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not going to go like, oh, that Edgar Wright guy, he's a coward and he's dumb and, you know, I didn't like him anyhow. No, I actually think that, you know, if he had a perfectly good reason for him to go and, you know, get do that, you know, the go and, you know, I'm kind of rambling here.
Yeah.
Going and, you know, changing your mind on the project, not wanting to do or follow through with a project that you signed up for, you know, it's not.
Well, like, I would rather him, like, if he's not feeling it, like, rather him step away rather than making a movie he doesn't want to make, because I think it'll reflect in the final product. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not jiving with him anymore, and it, you know, I still think we're going to get a good movie out of it, just like Thor 2 was a good movie. Not a great movie, but a good movie. But, like, I'm just... now I know that there was something in the script that got changed... got changed a whole bunch. And, like, what that thing was and would it have been a better movie if it wasn't there. And what was it? And, like, what... what would the Edgar Wright Ant-Man been like? We'll just never know that anymore.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Like, I wonder if for Avengers 3, they are kind of planning to have these new heroes in the movie. And, like, Wright wanted the character to end up in a different place. But, like, Marvel is like, no, we need him for Avengers. And just, like, the story beats that would take, like, just didn't agree with them. Brings up questions too about the cast and crew. It's like all the casting, kind of like out of the box casting for a lot of them was probably, you know, Wright's idea. Like, he probably had a big part in that, obviously. And now that and obviously the actors were excited working with Edgar Wright, but now if there's another director, it's like, how would they feel about it? Are they under contract? Because, like, rumors, too, that, like, Natalie Portman didn't really want to do Thor 2, but she was under a contract. And even though I think she did an okay job in that movie, you know, some people would say that she just phoned it in through half of it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people would say that, like, especially when pertaining to an actress at the level that Natalie Portman is. I mean, she's a really good actress, don't get me wrong. But there are a lot of people who... like, thought that she was just there because of eye candy reasons.
Well, that was before, like, Black Swan and stuff, before her career kind of took a more dramatic turn.
Ah.
Like, she was in Thor, and, you know, they signed these 3-movie deals. They don't have much of a choice.
Yeah, that's true.
So they might get fined. Yeah, so that's a shame. They haven't announced another director. The guy who directed the Anchorman movies... was in talks for, like, a day, rumor has it.
Mm-hmm.
But he turned down the project.
Uh-oh.
Because he worked with, like, Paul Rudd and all that stuff. But, like, that... taking up that role for any director is going to be kind of a lose-lose situation, I think.
Yeah.
Unless they just get the right guy for it that just everyone loves. Because, you know, you took the movie from a very nerd-friendly director, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
But you're just going to be living up to Edgar Wright. And, you know, again, like, back to Thor 2, they got a guy who was a Game of Thrones director So he's used to doing like fantasy stuff and all that. But he's just a kind of run-of-the-mill director. He's not really anything too unique. Not to disrespect the guy or anything.
No, it's okay.
And like Thor 2 was, there wasn't really a vision to Thor 2. But you look at a movie like Iron Man 3 and probably Guardians of the Galaxy, like, you know, there's a definite style and vision to those movies that reflect the director who's in charge of them.
Yeah.
But Thor 2 didn't have that, and chances are Ant-Man won't have that. And if it does, it'll be like, well, he's just trying to act like Edgar Wright, you know, directing.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, exactly.
So I've been rambling about that. You know, some people say it's like it's Marvel. It's even one more notch against like Marvel and all that. But I'm like, yeah, it's not good, but it's Hollywood. These things happen, unfortunately. And if it wasn't Edgar Wright or like a Joss Whedon or whatever, you know, people wouldn't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
I still hope we get a fun movie out of it. Or, I mean, they're not gonna cancel it, right?
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah. I think it might probably get a delay if I had to guess, because it's supposed to shoot in like a few weeks. I mean, it has like a release date of next year, like in July. So they have to film that thing pretty soon if they want to get that date.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with something like Ant-Man, because it's, you know, yeah, he's just a dude who shrinks, but, you know, or a dude who grows or shrinks or whatever he wants to be doing that day. You know, it really is up to.
I imagine a movie like that will be, like, the scale wouldn't be that large. I imagine, because they were talking about it, it's kind of like a caper movie about this guy who steals the armor and has to steal something, like, to get money to save his kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a heist movie. And those don't, and the scale for those don't have to be huge. So we're not talking, like, Iron Man 3 explosions and buildings collapsing probably in this one.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, this script was written, you know, when Ant-Man wasn't even owned by Marvel, you know, like the movie rights.
Yeah, they didn't have the movie, yeah.
I mean, Wright was pitching it to the other company, and then, you know, the rights went to Marvel, and Marvel was like, we know we're making our own movies now. It's like, we need to prove ourselves. Hey, Edgar Wright, come make a movie for us. So. And, like, you know, Avengers happened, and they got huge.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, how does Edgar Wright fit into that if he has a unique vision for it? It's probably very off the wall. So, yeah, so that's the two big, like, movie news. They cast Thanos in Guardians of the Galaxy. Obviously, it's just a voiceover role. He's not actually, it's, like, not a guy in makeup. It's Josh Brolin. He was... in a lot of stuff, but he was young K in Men in Black 3 is kind of what has him from.
Yeah, that's what I know him best from as well.
What kind of role do you think Thanos is going to play? Guardians.
I honestly think he's going to be something of a mastermind. Like,
yeah, I mean, they've said as much that he's the guy pulling the strings again.
He's always kind of been like that. It's been in those kinds of movies and things like, or not movies, but the comics. He's always been the sort of conniving, planning, plotting kind of guy. He's the guy who, you know, comes with this really awesome plan. Now, unfortunately, since he's kind of an imbecile in that he doesn't seem to be able to let himself win, he fails a lot. And so I think he may like end up getting like the upper hand in
Guardians.
In Guardians.
Well, like the MacGuffin of the movie is this thing called the Orb, James said. It's that, you know, that sphere that's been in the trailers.
Yeah.
And yes. that's probably a Infinity Gem. And The bad guy is probably after that Infinity Gem, and they're probably
working for Thanos.
I mean, there's connections with Thanos with a few of the characters. So,
yeah, a few of the characters have either had their lives ruined by him, or outright like he's had it in for them in some way or another.
Yeah. So, do you think like Do you think like he'll obtain like the gem, like maybe even break into the Clutcher's vault and like steal the ether and all that?
I'm pretty sure he will. Like, that's how he is. He isn't above, you know, breaking a few limbs to get what he wants. So.
Yeah, so I imagine it'll be like a cameo, basically.
Yeah, effectively.
Yeah, another post-credit scene where he just turns around and looks at the camera.
Yeah, another one of those. He just, yeah. He's just like, yeah, you thought I was actually going to have a role in this one? No.
It's even in Avengers 3, it's just going to be shots of his back, and whenever he says something, he's going to turn around.
And smile about
smile
it.
At the camera and make a pun about his love of death. That's what he's going to do.
The whole time. Yep. It's like, it's his calling in life now.
I am so psyched for Guardians.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's just the idea of a comedic sci-fi movie. Again, it's like right up my alley, and I'm hoping the movie's good on top of it. But even if it's not, I think I'm gonna enjoy it.
No, I think you'll enjoy it thoroughly because it's gonna be good. Like, I don't like to, or mind sounding like I'll sound like a fanboy, and I don't care, but. I really think it's going to be great.
Well, the two things we've been hearing from Kevin Feige and stuff is like Captain America 2 is going to blow your minds. Guardians of the Galaxy is going to surprise a lot of people. So I think that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. What other kind of news? They cast Daredevil in the Netflix series. It's just a guy, I guess. He's been in some stuff, but I'm not really familiar with him. The showrunner for that show left, too. Like, he's directing the Sinister Six movie for Sony. So he kind of left as the showrunner for Daredevil, which, you know, that happened around the same time as the Edgar Wright thing. So people were like, everyone's abandoning ship.
Yeah, it sounds.
But in that case, I think for that guy, like, directing a movie was just a better option than being a showrunner on a TV series.
Yeah, that's true. Like they're gonna want to get. I'm not trying to say that they're after, you know, the gold and the glory and things like that. But what I am saying is, like, you know, everybody kind of wants to be the next Joss Whedon now at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, he set an absurdly high bar for movies that are superhero movies. You know, it's just kind of how it is, you know?
Yeah, with Sinister Six, though, like, at this point, I think the Spider-Man franchise is kind of, I don't know, it's like a dead man walking, almost.
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2 was not that good.
Like, yeah.
I know people are going to say it was horrible and it sucked, and it didn't quite, wasn't quite that bad, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you can just smell the poorly written script and all that stuff all over that movie. And, you know, Sinister Six is one of those movies they're working towards, but they kind of had to mangle the whole Spider-Man franchise to get there.
Yeah, they had to really push things along in the way that they shouldn't have.
Yep.
I agree.
You know, like, same could be said about what DC's doing. It's like, wow, we're already getting our Justice League prequel movie, huh? After one DC Universe movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love Man of Steel, but, like, I'm in the very cautious stage with Dawn of Justice is the name.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just don't know what type of movie it's going to be. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. Marvel's so much better than DC. That's what I'm saying.
You're a fanboy.
I'm a fanboy. Even though I hope it's really good.
Yeah. I hope it's really good, too. I mean, like, Superman has definitely needed a good movie coming out for him. You know, he's really been...
That's why I wish there was, like, a Man of Steel 2, because I think... As much as I love Man of Steel, there was a lot of just kind of problems with it that I guess just kind of overlooked because it was kind of new and exciting. But there are a lot of like character and plot structure issues in that movie, and I was saying, well, a prequel can address those, and it'll kind of be okay. It's like they can do a sequel, and maybe Dawn of Justice will do this really well, but you know you can have a sequel where it's the repercussions of Superman being on Earth more, and
or something
for the way he does things, and I think Dawn of Justice will be, or Batman versus Superman. I don't know. Dawn of Justice is a really stupid name.
It is kind of silly.
I think they can do that in Batman versus Superman, but I think it's going to be overshadowed by the fact that Wonder Woman and Batman's in it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's not... I'm afraid it's going to run into a situation where it can't exactly hold its own to where it needs to be.
Yeah, Man of Steel, every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, this movie is really cool. And then, like, the last 5 minutes, not the part where the spoiler happens, but just the part where everything's just happy and go lucky after Metropolis was destroyed. It's like, that just...
Yeah, like, everyone's just like, oh, hey, how's it going?
It's like, hey, you want to go see a ball game?
Hey, guys, let's Clark Kent.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, there's a huge 5-mile crater right next to your building. I'm surprised that you were able to ride up in a bicycle next to that place.
Yeah.
I have a theory about that. I have a feeling that there was always going to be a lot of destruction, but I imagine during, like, post, like, when they were doing special effects, they were like, make it bigger, make it more, make the destruction more. And they already had that ending filmed. It's like, you can't really change it. So.
Yeah.
But whatever. I know it's not a make or break for that movie.
It really isn't. But you know, I still thoroughly enjoyed it because
I love that.
Yeah, it's still a really fun movie for me.
The new bat suit and all that. You see that?
Yeah, I have. It's a little crazy.
I personally, Like, whenever you convert something from a comic book, in my mind, you have to be really careful, because if you just translate it directly, it's going to look bad and stupid, especially nowadays. And I see that new Batman suit, and I'm like, well, it looks neat, but it's kind of just looks like a guy in a t-shirt a little bit.
Just a little, yeah.
Not quite, but you know what I mean. It's like, I hope that look just fits the type of movie that they're making, and it's because I think they just got by with the Dark Knight movies. It's like Batman looked good enough. He looked kind of like a guy in armor, but he still had a bat mask on.
Yeah, he
don't really dwell on that fact too much. But here we have a guy that's, you know, very old school looking Batman, and riding a very old school looking Batmobile. And I'm just wondering, it's like, does this fit the Man of Steel tone?
Yeah.
You know, like, I know it looks like the Dark Knight Returns Batman, but, you know, Batman has always been silly in appearance to me, even though the Dark Knight movies did a good job explaining why he looks the way he does.
Yeah, exactly.
So continuing on our comic book news and stuff, you have not seen Days of Future Past, right?
I have not, but primarily because I'm scared, Joey. I'm scared.
I think at this point you don't have to be scared anymore. I mean, everyone says the movie's great.
Should I go and see it?
It's pretty great. I think... Now, I know before we said we're big Marvel Studio fanboys. I think I enjoyed it more than Captain America 2.
Oh, my.
I think Captain America 2 is probably a better movie, but Days of Future Past is just fun throughout it, and... as good as Captain America is, it's not exactly a thrill-a-minute movie. And that's what I got from X-Men. It was just fun. It was like, it just played up all the cool parts that people like about the X-Men movies, but they're not bad anymore, you know?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And, and like...
Nothing but scared.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect or anything, but Quicksilver, you know, people were laughing at him when they saw him in the magazine covers and all that.
Yeah.
He's like the best part of the movie. How about that? I'm actually like, I feel sorry for the Quicksilver and Age of Ultron, because you can't really live up to what they did with them here. And if they kind of copy the same stuff, they're just going to be ripping them off now.
Yeah. Well, it's good that they gave him, like, a lot more personality, because that was one thing that he had a lot of trouble with back in the day, is that he had a lot of trouble being his own character anyway.
Yeah. I mean, he's not in the movie a bunch. It's basically like a extended a cameo. He has a couple of action scenes. And, like, in Age of Ultron, he's, like, you know, one of the main characters. And probably a little less cartoony.
Yeah, because I heard it was pretty cartoony and swanky, and
yeah, he's going to be in Apocalypse.
Oh yeah,
the writer said.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, Days of Future Past did a good job living up to the legacy of X-Men while also continuing the First Class story, and setting things up for potential sequels that
But she told me that also that the events of Days of Future Past render X-Men Origins moot.
Pretty much. Like, this isn't really a spoiler saying all this, but, you know, in X-Men Origins, Logan is recruited from Vietnam.
Yeah.
By Stryker's name.
Yeah, Stryker.
And they form, like, you know, the X-Men group with Deadpool and all that. And they do missions for a while, and then Logan defects, basically, or whatever happened. And in Days of Future Past, Stryker is in the movie. He's a completely different actor. He looks a little younger than he did in Origins, actually. They still make references to his son. They don't mention him being a mutant or anything, but, you know, they make references to his son. But him and Wolverine meet, and Wolverine gets kind of a flashback to, you know, Weapon X and the actor from the older movies, but not from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Huh.
Like, and they knew each other. I mean, really, that should have been happening around the same time the movie takes place, because the Vietnam War just ended, like, when the movie starts.
Huh.
You know, and all that happened during it. So, like, you know, they should have been best buds at that point. And another thing, there's a you know, obviously, Xavier lost the use of his legs in the last movie.
Yeah.
X-Men Origins, he's walking around. This isn't really a spoiler, but it is a plot point that they kind of, if you notice in the trailers, he is walking around for parts of it.
Yeah.
They have this thing where he, where Hank McCoy invents this serum that gives him use of his legs back, but it suppresses his mutant powers, his, like, psychic ability.
Yeah.
So he's walking around through parts of the movie. But in X-Men Origins, you know, he's walking around as old man Xavier. He still has the psychic powers, and, you know, just doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense.
That's okay. Apparently they don't, like, explain as to why it is that Kitty Pryde seems to be able to send people back in time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, one of those things. She was like the mutant that went back in time in the comics, right? So it's probably just,
yeah, she was
just kind of a nod, probably saying, "Hey, we're still gonna have Kitty involved in it, but
yeah,
we're making a X-Men movie, and Kitty Pryde can't carry a movie. It has to be Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Need to get Hugh Jackman's back as much as possible, or he doesn't want to do this anymore."
Before he takes off.
Like, and I was worried with Days of Future Past, where because I really liked the First Class crew.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, man, we're having a crossover. Like, I want to spend more time with those actors. But the movie is a First Class sequel. Like, the future stuff isn't a huge part of it. And when it is, it's very serviceable to the overall plot. So,
well, that's good.
And Apocalypse is going to be the First Class crew, too. Jennifer Lawrence is another one of those actresses who, you know, was in this movie before she got big.
Yeah.
like in Hunger Games and all that. So it's like, she's doing Academy Award winning stuff now, but nope, she's got to put on that makeup, be Mystique for at least another movie, probably.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's what you do. You know, it's the life of...
There's actually one big thing at the end of Days of Future Past, which I don't know if you mind hearing, but it involves...
I already know about N7 or...
What's that?
Yeah. They talk about Apocalypse?
Well, no, it's about what happens to Wolverine at the end of that.
Oh. Yeah, I'm probably not going to go watch it, like, personally, so... You feel free to...
Okay, well...
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, even though it doesn't really give away in the story, it is left very ambiguous if Wolverine ever went through Weapon X in this kind of alternate history that they made.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... They show him in the future with the Metal Claws, which technically is a inconsistency with the Wolverine, because at the end of the Wolverine, he loses his Metal Claws at the end of it. But in the future, he has them again. And when he goes back in time, he has the Bone Claws. And then by the end of the movie, like all the stuff happens, and he wakes up in the new future, and you don't know if he ever went through Weapon X, because some stuff that happened in the movie kind of implies that Weapon X would never happen. Or mm-hmm. like mutants are more accepted than they were in the past. Because they know about him a lot earlier, and the bad stuff never really happened with Magneto.
Yeah.
So, and like a lot of characters are alive, so it was just an excuse to get Jean Grey and Cyclops alive again. So I wonder if Wolverine ever went through Weapon X in this new version, and that's kind of a big deal if he didn't.
Yeah, I can see a lot of people getting their nerd rage on from that.
I don't know how much complaining I've heard about it, but they just left it ambiguous. I mean, there is going to be another Wolverine movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what that's going to be about, but it'll be weird if, like, you know, we already had an Origins movie. And,
yeah.
Like, what if the next Wolverine movie is like, I gotta know if bad stuff still happened to me. And, like, take this all alternate history stuff into a standalone Wolverine movie. I don't know how well that's going to
be. Just like, oh, no, this isn't right.
Because the weird thing is, it's like the events of the Wolverine probably never happened either because of this other timeline.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie was about him getting over his grief about having to kill Jean Grey. Like, yes, X-Men 3 was canon, people. You can't explain away something because you didn't like it. You know, the whole movie was kind of about, like, his character arc was about that. Him learning to love again, or whatever.
Him learning to love again.
Yeah. So I wonder if that movie is still happened the way it did, but whatever. But, like, Bryan Singer proved that X-Men can be good again. Like, First Class was definitely good, but it was, like, a testbed almost. But mm-hmm. Days of Future Past was, like, full-blown, really great. So I liked it a lot.
That's good.
Go see it on video or whatever. I think you won't be disappointed by it.
Okay, I'll go see it.
Yeah, we talked about Doctor Strange, about Ant-Man, touched on DC, about X-Men. Comic book movies, people, Guardians of the Galaxy in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Phase 3 is looking to be Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Captain America 3 are the ones they announced.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we get Thor 3 will probably be there, but hoping we get one more original movie in there.
I agree. I'd like to see that too.
Like Black Panther, I think a lot of people want to see that.
Yeah.
Or Miss Marvel, you know. I think Miss mm-hmm. Marvel would be more important. If they had to choose between like Black Panther and Miss Marvel, Captain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beat DC to the punch by making a big budget female superhero movie.
Let's hope so, because there's a lot of people who want to see that. They want to see a good female lead.
And they're like setting up Kree stuff in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so if that's what like Captain Marvel's about, like Kree stuff.
Let's hope so.
They kind of have it. And I'll be kind of disappointed if they just do that stuff in the TV show, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, we're really speaking of anything, but another big superhero movie. What's your thoughts on the Fantastic Four reboot coming out in a couple years?
You know what? I think of all the films that have come out recently, that's definitely one of the ones that has needed it. Like, I think that they really need a new one to, you know, kind of make up for the mess that was the other one.
Yeah, because, like, buzz around that movie, the official name is Fantastic Four Reborn. Unless they change or whatever. Buzz around that movie has been kind of indifferent and, or, like, negative, because it doesn't really look like it's shaping up to be anything special.
Yeah.
At least in my mind. It's like, I don't know. I guess it's not fair to say that since they haven't really shown anything from it, but just all the buzz around it has been kind of ho-hum, if you ask me.
Yeah, it looks like that too, and I can see where the worry comes from, especially when it comes to the Fantastic Four. Because, like, when that came out, like, the first one when it came out, and it was, you know, I was but a silly young lad, and I took a date there, and we almost immediately regretted going because, like, the movie felt like it was building up, and then it didn't build up to anything.
Yeah, I remember the sequel being, like, a better movie overall. But, you know, it still had kind of the same, like, cast problems or whatever.
Yeah.
And Fantastic Four is a very cartoony premise. You know, a guy who stretches, a guy who catches on fire. And you got to handle that right. And I think the original movies, you know, they were just cheesy because it's a very cheesy premise.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of hard to do something like that, because you are right. It is kind of tricky to work around.
I think they can do it, but it may be a very different movie than what you're hoping, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I think the same thing with, like, Spider-Man. Spider-Man is a very cartoony superhero, and kind of in retrospect, like, the charm of those old Raimi movies was because it's so cartoony. I know some people may not like that nowadays, but I actually think, like, there's a certain charm to that now. And The Amazing Spider-Man 2 kind of recreates that pretty well, but it's trying to put this really dark story on top of it, and it just doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
People say, like, man, give Fantastic Four to Marvel. Give X-Men to Marvel or whatever. And I'm like, no, do not.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, maybe not yet. Like, I do not want Fantastic Four in this Marvel universe right now. There's just no place for them. And I think they're so unique. It's like, it just puts a big, I don't know, it doesn't fit right now. Same thing with Spider-Man. And X-Men, I think, should always be separate. But that's just me.
Yeah, and I agree, like, with those kinds of things, for right now at least, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this in podcasts before, I think. Like, I think it's cool that Wolverine, like, they kind of put him in every once in a while, like he was in the Howling Commandos, or he fights the Hulk or whatever. But the second you include mutants in this movie universe, it just kind of invalidates everything. And mutants are so important. I don't want to say invalidates, but you know what I mean. Like, it just puts this weird spin on everything. Once you have mutants and you have, like, something like Age of Apocalypse, which is supposed to be this huge thing that has to do with mutants, like, well, how does Iron Man and Captain America fit in that? You know?
Yeah, they
don't. If there's mutants, then why was, like, if there's Fantastic Four and mutants, then why is Loki invading New York a big deal? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, they didn't exist during that time, so it's really not an argument. But once you add an entire subpopulation to the human species and to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's going to change the entire thing. And I think they can do that with Inhumans, because I don't know much about Inhumans, but it's not really that a big population. It's like a small group of people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have stuff like a Quicksilver or a Scarlet Witch in Age of Ultron, because they kind of explain them away with science.
Yep.
like wherever they're doing it in like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the Kree, but
we can hope.
Yeah, it's me ranting again.
Yeah.
Like once the cinematic universe starts to grow, it gets more and more delicate, the things you do in it, you know? Because people are already saying, like, during Captain America 2 and Thor and stuff, it's like, well, where's Iron Man?
Yeah. And like, what was he doing while this was all going on? Yeah.
I mean, you have to just say, well, it's a Captain America movie. It's not an Iron Man movie. But, you know, why wouldn't Iron Man try to be helping out during that stuff, you know? And, like the second you have, like, Fantastic Four, like I said, Fantastic Four and X-Men in this universe, it's like, there's even more. It's like, well, where's the X-Men? They can help out with this Mandarin problem, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
at least the Guardians of the Galaxy are in space, you know, so they're not really worried about stuff on Earth.
Yeah.
Until I hope Fantastic Four, Avengers 3, where I hope Thanos causes some trouble and, you know, Rocket Raccoon comes down.
Yeah.
And,
it's like, you want a piece of me?
Yeah. Oh, man, Guardians.
That would be weird.
For a movie I knew nothing about when they announced it, it's become, like, one of my most anticipated movies. Just because I want to know what they do with it. just seems so special.
It does seem special, because it's like, you know, the reason why DC was so reluctant to make or do anything with Wonder Woman is because, like, they didn't know what to do to, like, explain her, you know?
Yeah. And I kind of agree with that. It's like you have to ground it in whatever whatever tone and reality you're setting up. And like a lady made out of clay doesn't necessarily
make a whole lot of sense.
Jive with like Man of Steel universe in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, at least what they've shown so far, and so that's why I'm wondering if they're gonna change anything with the Wonder Woman, Man of Steel, too.
We'll see.
You hear that, like, David Goyer, one of the writers of, you know, Man of Steel and the Dark Knight movies, he was saying, well, one, a lot of anti-woman stuff about She-Hulk, but we won't get into that. But he also saying, like, Martian Manhunter, if we were to make a movie about Martian Manhunter, we would have to completely change the origin of the character, because Martian Manhunter is a stupid name. And just all that stuff, and it's like that's kind of the problem, quote unquote, with DC movies, is they take their stuff a little too seriously, whereas Marvel just embraces the craziness of everything.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
In a way, I like that, because I kind of like how the DC's kind of the more quote unquote realistic movies, like more serious ones.
Which is really funny, considering that, like, DC stuff is so, like, science fiction, it hurts.
Well, exactly, and that's the problem. That's the problem we're gonna run into. It's like Aquaman and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great that we got some really dark Batman movies, and it's great that, well, at least for me, that Superman was a new take on the character, but, you know, what are you going to do with Green Lantern? I mean, we already had a movie with that.
Yeah.
The concept is, again, it's a silly concept. You know, people who have magic rings and carry around lanterns and fly around and create magic, anti-magic, whatever things. I mean, that is a very comic booky premise. And are they going to make a Man of Steel style movie about Green Lantern? It's like, or, you know, Hawk Girl, like a lady with eagle wings. Or, you know, even Martian Manhunter, even though I think they can make a pretty cool movie out of that. It's a guy who stretches.
Yeah.
You know?
He's stretchy. He's kind of like Superman, but not.
Yeah. There's DC is full of characters that are kind of like Superman, but not.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's like, why is Superman special if you have Shazam there, you know?
Yeah, if Shazam's hanging out with the Justice League and all that business.
You're like, Shazam is kind of Doctor Strange, but he's Superman, right?
Yeah,
he kind of
much.
Handles like the mythical, like the mystical stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's Superman, basically. Yeah, like Aquaman. First of all, again, that's a stupid name, Aquaman.
Yeah,
it's kind of. I think they can do a cool premise behind the character, but again, they're a race of fish people that live underneath the ocean.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that going to mix with, is that going to mix with Batman and Man of Steel? Okay, we're just rambling now.
Yeah, we were rambling.
Marvel's awesome. We love Marvel. We're sorry, Edgar Wright, that you didn't jive with it. But if you're not feeling it, then we're not going to. It's good that you're not forcing yourself to make a movie you don't want to make.
We're not going to be mad at you. We're not going to hold you accountable. And if it does suck, if it ends up being terrible, then you dodged a train, dude.
Yeah, if we got a bad movie out of this, because people are waiting for that bad Marvel movie, like the horrible Marvel movie. And hopefully Ant-Man isn't a mess because it doesn't have direction or vision. But I think Marvel is also good at making like manageable stuff out of mediocrity, not to sound negative to it. Again, like Thor 2.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that movie's fun. It has some good moments, but it's, you know, compare that to Captain America 2 and like you just can't.
You can't. Yeah, it's own animal.
And hopefully Thor 3 there's a little more direction and vision with it. And
we can help.
And they fight a giant fire demon, and Beta Ray Bill's in it, and all this fun stuff. So, thanks, Randy, for chatting with me.
Hey, that's what I do.
Yep. And we were gonna do a review on like me, Dustin, and Rich Farrow on like Spider-Man and X-Men and stuff. But I just kind of talked about it during this.
Yeah, we did.
I'm going to have to apologize and say that podcast we were going to do, me and Randy just kind of did it on a whim.
We were bored one day. We just decided we just did it.
We wanted to talk about Spider-Man.
That's what we did.
Yep.
There we go. Ruining podcasts.
Yep. Amazing Spider-Man 3. You think it's going to suck?
You know, I don't even know what to think anymore, man.
I mean, we'll end the podcast after this, but the stuff that made Spider-Man 2 worthwhile for me was Peter and Gwen. And spoiler alert, when you don't have that anymore, is it going to be interesting to me? Not as much. Not really.
We'll figure out something. Yep. Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll figure it out and give Mark Webb a call. Say, hey, I know you've been struggling a bit on Spider-Man, but listen.
Let me level with you, buddy.
I'm with you. What's a really obscure Spider-Man villain?
He's like, let's think for a minute. Oh. I am trying to think now.
They're all just so good.
Oh, the Beetle. Use him.
It's like, Amazing Spider-Man 3. The Beetle, whoever that is. Put him in the movie. He's the star. Man, Amazing Spider-Man 3 is going to be like all these villains just wanting to kill Spider-Man because Harry Osborn is sad. It's not going to be good. I'm usually not cynical about these movies, and I'll give it a chance, but I do not have high hopes for any of these Spider-Man movies, except for maybe Venom. Venom could be interesting. I don't know. Okay, Randy, I'm all sad now, so... Let's just think about Rocket Raccoon and Groot, and we'll see you next time.
All right, later.
Later, guys.